It's a delight to have you all here. Come from many places, and slideshows are always fun to see a little snippet of a person's life, all the different things that they enjoy, and abilities, talents, gifts, silliness, and all the rest of it that comes up through life. But it is a delight to have each and every one of you here. We have renewed fellowship with many today, and we want to welcome you again. All right, Aaron, if you will come up with the scripture reading.
Please turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
This is the word of God. His word is truth. Now, Andrea, if you will come up. Andrea is going to present the diploma to Robbie.
Robbie, you afraid of what I'm going to say up here in front of everybody? I really felt a little bit at a loss to know. You know, there's times in the last few years you've told me when we've talked about different things, Mommy, you just don't know what it's like to be growing up to be a man, and you don't understand. And that's kind of true, because I don't know what it's like to be growing up to be a man. And that's a good thing, actually. And so, but I felt like it was a good thing, and your dad, too, felt like it was good for you to hear from a man today and not from me. So he's written some things for me to read to you. But, you know, I had to take this opportunity to say at least one or two things. So I wanted to tell you that I've been really proud of you these last few years. Your dad being gone has not been an easy thing for you or for our family. And you've had to grow up quickly and take on burdens and responsibilities that might have been daddy's if he had been home. There's times that this has been a joy to you, as it's made you feel kind of part of the adult world and given you a taste of what it would be like. But there's times that it's been an unwanted burden. I just want to remind you that all these circumstances of your life are purposed by God. It's not an accident. He hasn't made a mistake to have you grow up like this. And he's doing a work. And the work he's doing is not just in your dad. It's in you. It's in me. It's all of us. And the wonderful thing is that God doesn't leave his work incomplete. And he doesn't abandon it because it takes a long time or because it proves difficult. He won't lead you into something and then leave you ill-equipped or unequipped to handle the task. He has a plan, and you can trust him with every single detail of that plan. He has a great blessing for you as you yield more and more in trusting him and in doing things his way. Now let me share from Daddy. Robbie, I wish I could be here today to deliver this address to you in person. I wish that I could have been there these last 3.5 years to help with your education and to watch you grow and mature. But sin has consequences. Unfortunately, the consequences are not just to the sinner. The innocent suffer with the guilty, and you have had to suffer for my sins. Please forgive me. There are a few things I would like to share with you as you leave these high school years and move into adulthood. Always remember that we have been given God's word and that it holds many promises. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose." Notice that this verse puts all the work on God. It is him who does the calling. It is his purpose. It is him that is working all things together. Our only involvement here is to love God. Robbie, I want to encourage you to love God. Love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right now, you're burdened with many of life's tough questions. Who am I? What do I want to be when I grow up? How will I support a family when the time comes? What do I do with all the emotions that stir around inside me? The answer may sound simplistic to all these questions, but it is to love God. You love God by pursuing a relationship with him. Make time to study his word and talk with him daily. For most of my life, I saved my quiet time till I had finished doing all that life required, until I had finished all that I wanted to do. The majority of the time, I never finished my list. And you see where it's gotten me. You love God by loving people. Jesus referred to this as the second greatest commandment. Invest your time and your energy into helping others. God has placed you in a wonderful, loving, and caring body of believers. Treasure them and work with them to build one another up and to further his kingdom. Lastly, love God by denying yourself. Robbie, this denying of yourself can take many forms. One way is by facing things that are difficult. It is our tendency, yours and mine, to take things that are difficult to learn or do and to regard them as unimportant, just to ignore them and not put forth any effort to learn or to accomplish them. That way we can save face if we were to fail. But Christ calls us to have courage and to know that he equips us for what he calls us to, even if it is difficult. Hear his words to Joshua in chapter 1. Only be thou strong and of a valiant courage, that thou mayest observe and do according to all the law which Moses my servant hath commanded thee. Thou shalt not turn away from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be discouraged, for I, the Lord thy God, will be with thee wherever you go. Another way we deny ourselves is in the way we manage our emotions. For example, it is common for people to feel that they have a right to get angry or to take it out on others if things don't go their way. God gave us emotions, but he desires to be Lord over them. We should never use them to manipulate or to punish others. The last way that I would mention that we can deny ourselves is by seeking help. My pride always held me back from seeking help that I needed. I believed I had to appear as if I were in control of every situation, when in truth, I was out of control and unable to handle things on my own. Deny yourself. Admit when you are weak and vulnerable. Get the help you need. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." If we love God in these ways, we can be sure he is working out his purpose in our lives. All of the questions that seem to be bearing down on you right now will all fall into place, and God will give you a peace that is beyond understanding. I love you, son, and I'm praying for you. Congratulations. And now, Robbie, I present to you your diploma after 12 years of hard work from Christian Fellowship Academy. Congratulations.
All right, Mr. Alan Davis will come now and present his diploma to Aaron. Aaron, Robbie, Brian, and Ashlyn, it's been a real joy to watch you all grow these last 4 years. We haven't been members of Dominion as long as some, but getting to know you and your families during that time has been a real blessing. And I would say that our family has benefited from it greatly. One of the things that I've learned in this past 4 years is the real value of Christian fellowship in a way that I've never understood it before. But being among families that love the Lord and that will take the time to pour into each other, to get to know each other, to pray for each other, and just to see the friendships that you all have developed in these years and have a belief that those will endure not just during the time of your high school years, but as you grow into adulthood. And I hope that that's true, that you all will, that the Lord will grow those friendships as you continue to follow Him. One of the things that Pastor Mark talked about this morning in his sermon, and he asked the question, do you have a course? And he talked about purpose. And one of the things I've tried to develop this year as a habit is a daily reading of the Proverbs. And a proverb that I've come back to a couple of times is Proverb 20 and verse 5, where it says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And I've read some commentaries on this, and they usually talk about two men. One who is this man of understanding who is able to draw things out of other people. The man of understanding is able to draw this deep water that others don't give up freely. They don't give up easily. And certainly this is something that I hope will develop in your lives, that you will attain the type of understanding and wisdom that will allow you to do this with believers and with unbelievers, to help determine what it is that you're dealing with in other people. I also hope that you will seek other people who will be able to do this with you as you grow. Because having people around you that have the ability to see the things that you don't always want to see in yourselves can be a great asset, having someone that can speak truth to you in love and can help you grow as a Christian is a gift from God that is of great value. But most importantly, before you can be this to someone else, you have to be it with yourself, to have the sort of reflection to look at your own purpose, to ask yourself the question that Pastor Mark asked this morning. Do you have a course? Do you know your purpose? As I thought about the second verse here, but a man of understanding will draw it out, in reference to the deep water, I thought how easily that could be lost on us in the age in which we live. How many of you all have drawn out water from a deep well? Okay, two hands go up. That means that most of us have benefited greatly from living in a country where we have probably the safest water supply the world has ever known. And we can just go to it, quickly turn it on, get a drink, go on about our lives. And in a lot of ways, finding your purpose in life is often presented in that way. All you have to do is read the right books, go to the right seminar, your purpose in life is figured out. Until the next book comes out, or the next seminar comes along. And then your purpose shifts. But purpose in life goes a lot deeper than that. And I think that what this describes is hard work. And that the man of understanding, the woman of understanding, the person of understanding in general, where God's doing work, is willing to do that work, understands the importance of doing that work, is willing to drop that bucket into the well where maybe it's not going to hit the bottom for a long time, and pull it up and drop it down there again if you need to. And I got to thinking about this, and as I looked at it, a reference that was made was to John chapter 4, where Jesus found himself at a well, or I should say Jesus was at a well and someone found herself there with him. It was the well of Jacob. It says, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus saw her and said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?
and how mistaken she was. Christ has everything to draw water out of that deep well. He's got everything you need. The Lord's given us the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit to help us draw those deep things out. But the real question here is, where do you get that living water? She had this question. Well, you all have heard repeatedly where you get that living water. You get that living water from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where you get purpose as well. If you come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then it becomes an easy thing to say that my purpose is to glorify God and enjoy fellowship with Him forever. Aaron, you heard me say these words to you a few months ago at your Eagle Court. I'm going to say them again. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Apostle Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." I hope you will aspire to be a godly man worthy of imitation. Take on the Lordship of Jesus Christ and ask Him to bear fruit in your life. Continue to study the Scriptures so you can attain true wisdom, understand the nature of man, and discern the will of God. Remember the people who have been a blessing to you. Pray for them and use what they have learned, what you've learned from them, to glorify God. Stand firm in your beliefs and never grow weary of doing good. I want to present this to you on behalf of your family. I want you to know that we love you. And as I look out, I know there's a lot of people out there that love you.
Thanks for playing that, Ashlyn. That was very beautiful. We've loved hearing you play music in our home for many years now. I would like to thank your music teachers through the years who have helped you develop your talents for God, most recently Miss Jerry Scoggins. Thank you for investing the time and effort into all three of my girls. I really do appreciate that. And even though we homeschool, we're not the only ones that teach you. You've had music teachers, art teachers, and the support of many family members, wonderful grandparents who have helped us as we've taught you through the years. I'd also like to thank the women of the church, especially Kim and Joy and Andrea, for the time when you were younger and they taught you in the Keepers at Home group. Because even though scholastics are such an important part of school, it's all of the other things that have really made you into the young woman that you've become. But of course, the bulk of your education was provided by your mother. I also had a part in it, but Shayla was the one who was with you each and every day, all day. And I'm so thankful that your mother and your sisters and you were able to spend all of this time with each other. She has dedicated herself for many years to teaching you and your sisters how to become godly and loving women. And I'm so proud of the job that she's done. And Ashlyn, I'm proud of the effort that you put into your studies and into the development of your talents. You've been a voracious reader. We never had to push you to read any books. You just consumed them constantly. And I've enjoyed the many discussions we've had about your favorite books. And I've also very much enjoyed our shared interest in movies and the many discussions that we've had about those also. You've also been very diligent in your study of the Word, and we're very thankful for that. In Timothy, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And it is our prayer that you continue on in this. You've always challenged us with tough questions, and we've had many late-night discussions on tough topics, and we've enjoyed those as well. We were very happy to hear that you had a desire to work with other people when you volunteered at the assisted living center in Helena there. You know, you were looking for a job. You were trying to come up with funds for different projects that you had going. And we were glad that you, we were proud of you when you chose to do a volunteer job and to do that. And then in God's grace, you, and I think it speaks to the job that you were doing when I turned that into a paying job. We were very thankful for that. And, but I know that you do it for the people that are there. We've seen how much you love them, and we've seen how much they love you back. And that's really blessed our hearts. And as I mentioned earlier, we've loved hearing you play the piano, the violin, the ukulele, and hearing you sing around our house. You've been very creative. You've worked on many arts, including sewing, knitting, leatherwork, and photography. And you've really applied yourself to your photography work, and it has shown us that you really do have an eye for beauty in this world. So having said that, we're actually very fortunate that we made it to this day of your high school graduation, because there were several times that you were ready to pack up and leave. At different ages, you threatened to head out on your own, and you even packed your bags on more than a couple of occasions. Sometimes we might have helped you pack. But we're very glad you stayed. You've always been a dreamer, and you've always wanted to explore this beautiful world that God has created. Your mother and I don't know what God has in store for you, but we do trust in Him and know that He has ordered your steps. We know that whatever He has for you is good. And yes, I do hope you get to see the places that you think you want to see in this world. Maybe you can make it to foreign lands and photograph the wonders of the world. But I can tell you this. I've stood in Paris and I've looked up at the Eiffel Tower, and yes, it's beautiful. But it pales in comparison to the beauty that I saw when your mother was holding you, newborn, in her arms in a hospital in downtown Birmingham. And actually, every photo that we saw in that slideshow earlier, and each moment that we've spent together as a family, both good and bad times, is far more precious to me than any other sight in this world. And those are the beautiful sights that I wish for you in your life, whether it be you being a wife, a mother, a grandmother, an aunt. Our prayer is that those are the beautiful moments that you get to behold. And I hope that you're so overwhelmed by those moments that you sometimes forget to even pick up your camera. So congratulations on completing this step in your education. May God bless you in your future adventures. And so, Ashlyn Summer Powell, we proudly present you with this high school diploma.
Well, Brian, it's been an emotional day. This is the end of a chapter in your life and the beginning of a new one. And you've successfully completed much coursework with mom as your teacher for a lot of it, and other people, as Spencer said, there have been other teachers, and we appreciate each of those, and we appreciate all the input that all of your friends and leaders and different organizations and so forth have had in your life. But in addition to all that coursework, the English and the history and the math and algebra and biology and so forth, you've been on a spiritual journey. You've been learning and growing spiritually. And you've learned a strong work ethic. You've learned to persevere, to keep going when the going gets tough. And has it been hard work? Yes. But I want to remind you, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, where he said, you know, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. And we've just been real fortunate to see God bless your work, and God bless our efforts and prayers. I'm sorry I got up here and cried. The accomplishment that means the most to Mom and me is the thing that you shared with us the other night. You said you've reached a point in your life where you realize that God has you where you are for a reason. And where you have surrendered your will to His, and you want to allow Him to live through you. One of the reasons it was emotional to me this morning, you played the prelude, He Leadeth Me. And it was emotional because I realized that along with the hymn writer, you've reached that point in your life where you can say, Lord, as in verse 2, I would clasp my thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since it is God's hand that leadeth me. He has begun a good work in you. Philippians 1, Paul's talking to the church at Philippi, he says, in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge, in all knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve those things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all fruits and righteousness, which are by Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And that's, we want to see Him continue that work in you and to conform you to His image. You've been enamored with airplanes since as far back as we can remember. The slideshow, people saw you, you know, with pictures of airplanes as just a babe in arms, basically. You didn't want to have anything at all to do with your brother, Michael, your oldest brother, until you saw him taxi up in an airplane. All of a sudden, he was your best friend. You were 4 years old, and he became Airplane Michael. And that has led to the next phase in your life. And even though you're about to belong to the United States Air Force, we want you to remember that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. The price of the blood of your Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And you belong always to Him. We're His bondservants. We would love to see you serve Him faithfully to the end of your life, so that your natural life, if you will, so that He can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so, if you'll step up here, I will award you the first of your presentations today. Congratulations. This is your diploma of accomplishment for Brian McKenzie Poitras. And we have, from day one, Mom and I had to turn you over to the Lord, but now we're turning you over to Major Charles Smith. So, Major Smith, would you like to come up and make your presentation?
Good afternoon. My name is Major Charles Smith, and I'm the director of the United States Air Force Academy Liaison Officer Program for the state of Alabama. And it's my pleasure today to represent the United States Air Force Academy, Director of Admissions, Colonel Carolyn Beneshek, to present Brian McKenzie Poitras with an Air Force Academy appointment. This appointment is equivalent to being offered a full 4-year scholarship to a top-tier university with a value of over $40,000 per year. Appointments to the Air Military Academies are highly competitive. Brian competed with more than 9,000 other interested students for admission to the Air Force Academy and will be joining a select group of only 1,200 to receive an appointment. He will train to be a future leader of the Air Force during the 4 years of the Air Force Academy. He will have the opportunity to participate in many different leadership development programs, including flying aircraft, free fall parachuting, and participating in various military training programs and foreign exchange programs around the world. Brian will pursue a major of his choice in one of 27 academic majors ranging from political science to aeronautical engineering. In addition, he will study subjects dealing with Air Force history, military affairs, leadership, and management. While Brian is a cadet, he will be assigned the job of Air Force Academy cadet and full-time student. And the Air Force will provide him complete tuition, room and board, medical and dental benefits, and monthly basic pay. When Brian graduates from the Air Force Academy, he will earn a Bachelor's of Science degree and be commissioned as a lieutenant in the United States Air Force. Approximately half of each graduating class will go on to Air Force pilot training, and many others will have the opportunity to earn advanced degrees. All graduates will eventually begin working in one of the 38 officer career fields in the world's premier air, space, and cyberspace force. I'm extremely proud of Brian. He has done very, very well in the process. It is a great honor for me to make this presentation to recognize the years of hard work that both he and his family have brought to this point in his life. Brian, congratulations, and good luck as you go to the Academy this summer.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Robbie, if you'll come for the New Testament reading.
If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not as eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ and sincerity. Amen.
If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5, and if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do give you praise and thanks this day for thy goodness through thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the work that you have done, the work you are doing in the lives of these four graduates. We would lift them up to you. We would ask that you would take them up as your own dear children. We pray that you would use them for your honor and for your glory, for the furtherance of thy kingdom, for the glory of Christ our Lord and Captain. We ask, Father, that you would now open up your word to us. We thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to the principles that you grant to us in this text that we have before us tonight, that you would bless it to the hearts of the graduates and to all who are before me this day by your good providence. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Aaron and Robbie and Brian and Ashlyn, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 5 today and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Beatitudes are given to us by the Lord in his Sermon on the Mount as a state of blessedness. You are in a state of blessedness if you have this hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You are young and full of life. You have before you, you're at the brink of many possibilities, and as you continue on in your life and look forward to callings in life, you hunger to get on to your calling. You may begin preparing for that calling in various ways. But as you do that, you need to, as Paul says to the Hebrews, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. As you go on in your callings of God, the course that God is going to give you for your life, do not forget your heavenly calling. That heavenly calling concerns righteousness. And here in our text, a state of hungering and thirsting after righteousness is a blessed state. For the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you have that hunger? Do you consider the apostle and high priest of your faith, of your calling, our Lord Jesus Christ? A hunger denotes great need, sometimes great pains in the stomach, which for these boys before me, it was like constant. Of course, Ashlyn, she just eats like a bird. So, but hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will thirst for a lot of things. And in our youth, we do. You will thirst after knowledge. You've had just a taste of it, and there's much more that can be had. You should. I did not thirst after knowledge until after I was converted to Jesus Christ. I wasted away much of my high school years. On Wednesday, we preached a sermon, and in that sermon, the proverb, it said, a man of knowledge. And it talked about a man of knowledge. Proverbs says, seek for her as silver and hid treasures, the wisdom of God. Knowledge is useful. God used men of knowledge to judge Israel. We talked about Judge Moore this morning, a man of knowledge. God used men of knowledge to build the temple, to know the times and give direction to others, to speak a word in season to others. God uses doctors, lawyers, teachers, businessmen, mechanics, engineers, pursue knowledge. Solomon asked for knowledge, and God was pleased with that. And that's because Solomon, in his humility, understood that he had a responsibility and he was not up to the responsibility. Like Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient to go on in our callings? But God was not pleased with Solomon as he was with David, because David was a man after God's own heart. And while Solomon was given this wisdom above all other men of the earth, he, for a time in his life, was not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And therefore, we have the book of Ecclesiastes, which is his repentance for this waste of time when God had sent him out with such knowledge. The first and most important knowledge is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we talk about hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we can speak of it in a couple of ways. It's how we come to the faith. Because there's a time in our life before we come to the faith when we are the natural man, when we are without Christ, and we believe we have self-righteousness. We are good enough in ourselves. We compare ourselves to other people, and we believe that because we are better than other people that we can think of around us, that we are prepared to meet God. And we're not. And we have to come to the point in which we understand that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, and there is only one who has that perfect righteousness, who will make us fit to approach unto a holy God. So we hunger at that point when God finally shows us who we are, that we are without any goodness and righteousness. It is at that point that we begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that can only be filled by the perfect life of our Lord Jesus Christ. But having come to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that hungering for righteousness does not stop. We hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we come to find that perfect righteousness which sets us right before God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sets us on a path in which we, all the days of our life, hunger and thirst for righteousness. To do what is right in the sight of God, to be clean before God, to have a pure and holy walk before Him. Do you see how valuable His righteousness is? The righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ is a rare righteousness. No one has anything like it. It is the rarest, and yet it is freely bestowed on poor sinners who renounce their own righteousness and own His instead. It is bestowed upon the worst of men and women, publicans and sinners. And so we rejoice in it. But it is a blessed state when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. You will thirst for independence. And that's a good thing if it means you wish to be responsible in this world. We want you to be taking on responsibilities. We want you to be taking on new challenges. We need new Joshuas to step in when Moses dies. New Elishas when Elijah is gone. New Samuels when Eli is gone. And with independence comes responsibility to maintain a testimony of righteousness. Jacob had such a testimony. He said to Laban, his father-in-law, he said, this will be my righteousness. The fact that you will not find any of your cattle with mine. There will be none stolen. And he maintained that integrity all the days in which he was with Laban, despite the fact that Laban cheated him over and over again. Why? Because Jacob pursued, thirsted after righteousness.
In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15, it says, "You shall do no unrighteousness. In judgment, thou shalt not reprove. Thou wilt not respect the face of the poor, nor the face of the mighty, but in righteousness you will judge." You have to use integrity. You have to have integrity. You have to have righteousness in the way you deal with men, whether they're rich or whether they're poor. It should not matter to you if you thirst after righteousness. And it is with humility that we come to God and recognize this great need. In Deuteronomy, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. In verse 4. "Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God has cast them out before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of the nations the Lord drives them out before you. It's not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart do you go to possess their land, but for their wickedness of these nations the Lord drives them out from before you, and that he may perform the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord gives you this good land to possess it. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people." I think we must always understand, as we have this hungering, thirsting for righteousness, that your independence that you thirst for, and to be responsible in the midst of your independence, it should drive you to dependence upon Jesus Christ. And ever and always looking to his perfections. You will hunger for new experiences and opportunities, like David, who came to see the battle, and his brother said, "You just came here to see the battle. You just wanted to see that, what was going on." Or like David running from Saul. The first one, David did want to see, and he wanted to go see the battle. The second one he was passive, and he was running from Saul in that one. He had experiences, all right. And you will be tested in the new experiences that you have. And David passed the test continually when he would not touch God's anointed. And Saul recognized that his righteousness was far above his own. The Queen of Sheba, who came to see Solomon in his work, it was a new experience for her. And what she saw, she wondered at. And I hope that you will hunger daily. You will hunger and thirst daily for an audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You will have many experiences in life. You'll have lots of different ones. But one that you need to have on a regular basis is to go and to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in all his glory, just like the Queen of Sheba came and saw the King of Solomon. And she wondered at his court. She wondered at the way he approached up to the temple. You will hunger and thirst for righteousness and be filled when you see the perfections of Jesus Christ. Do we hunger? What are the evidences of hunger? We begin to get hunger pains, and if these pains last long enough, we will become distracted until we have to fulfill them. Esau thought he was about to die if Jacob didn't give him some food. But Esau hungered for those temporal things to a fault and gave up his birthright, his rearing for Christ, for the kingdom, his only righteousness. Oh, the danger of earthly hunger and earthly desires. They may be legitimate in themselves, but be careful with your hunger. Be careful with what you hunger and thirst after. There are many legitimate hungers in this world to fulfill. But if you abandon the gospel for them, then they are no longer legitimate. There is nothing wrong with Esau's appetite except when he abandoned the gospel. No legitimate earthly appetite should eclipse our hunger and thirst for righteousness. I had many earthly hungers growing up. Sport was mine. Football, baseball, track, horseshoes, tennis. I didn't care what it was as long as it was sport. And this is a hunger and a thirst that in time God had to take from me.
because it began to eclipse the things of God. And you may find that there are certain legitimate hungers that you have now that will get in the way of your work for the Lord, and that will have to be set aside. I had hobbies. I collected stamps, matchbox, baseball cards. I collected everything and anything. I had piles of them everywhere. For the most part, these had to be put away as a man puts away childish things. I do not know what your sport is, your hobby is, your earthly hungerings. I do know that you are set apart unto the Lord, and that all your earthly hungerings are to be tempered by your service to Jesus Christ. All these things, I found out in time, were just to be tools for service to Jesus Christ. And if they couldn't be a tool for Jesus Christ, I just set them aside. None of them are to be the primary thing. Do you hunger after Christ in anguish of soul, that you will die if you do not have them? That's what Esau said. I'm going to die if you don't give me that meal. We should hunger for Christ in the same way, and we shall be filled. When you search for me with all your heart, the psalmist says, what are the evidences of true hunger? We can't get enough of it. Can't get enough of it. We long to have it. Do you long to be under the ordinances of God? Thomas Watson says, you shall hear men complain that they lack health and they lack trading, but never complain that they lack righteousness. If men lose a meal or two, they think themselves half undone. I do. But they can stay away from God's ordinances, which convey spiritual food to them. Hunger after the manna from heaven. It's a sign of hunger when men do not fuss over the seasoning of the dish. They're just glad to have solid food. They're just glad to have something. If a man refuses his meat because it isn't seasoned just right, that man's not really hungry. So a man with spiritual hunger will enjoy the plain truth from God's word, plain, solid food from heaven, even if it lacks the garnishing of eloquence or curiosity. Men who refuse to eat because it's not delivered to them in a way that suits their fancy are men who are not very hungry for God's word. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a sign of hunger when nothing but food will make him happy. It's not philosophy that will make them happy, not pleasant stories that will make them happy. Nothing but food. Food is what they want. You can't sing them a song. Nothing else. It's food that they want. So it is with the word of God. So it is a true sign of spiritual hunger. Like David, who thirsted for a draught from the well of Bethlehem. So spiritually, we should thirst to hear again of the Savior's incarnation, of his condescension, of his humiliation. These themes of our dear Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, our captain and our king, should be things that we thirst after. And we are glad to hear when they are presented to us. Or like the woman at the well, he needs a draught of that living water, which if you drink, you'll never thirst again. And so those who have a hunger and thirst after righteousness come before the word of God and before the scriptures themselves, and they are glad to hear and they are thirsty to hear again of the Savior and again of this great salvation. It's a sign of hunger when nothing will deter the person from obtaining food. No obstacles will hinder them to obtain the necessary meat. We have watched young men in that way, or sons growing up, where nothing would deter them from getting to the table. Nothing would deter them from getting what they want because they're hungry. And we should be that way with the Word of God as well. If you are hungry enough for God, you shall have Him. It is a sign of hunger when men devour their food. Watson says you don't need to make an oration to a hungry man to persuade him to eat. Please eat your food. So many of our churches, we're spending our time with orations, pleading with people to eat their spiritual food. Why don't they do it? They have no hunger. Your mother likes to see you eat your food. It makes her heart glad after spending all that time to watch people eat her food voraciously, as long as you use your manners. And so it is with Christ. So Christ, He is delighted to see men and women with a hunger for His
truth, his righteousness. Watson writes, "Do not be satisfied with the hypocrite's desire rather than spiritual hunger. Some people hunger for glory in heaven, but not for Christ's glory, nor for a heaven where Jesus rules and reigns. Some hunger for a crown of righteousness, but not for righteousness itself. Some hunger for Christ who does not put them forth from their sins. Some hunger in a way that is lazy and sluggish. Some hunger is short-lived and then they hunger no more. Oh, we want that hunger which once we have it for the rest of our life. We hunger and thirst for righteousness and we are filled day by day. Do you hunger and thirst for fashion, to be in step with the world?" I had an unusual roommate at Liberty one year who hungered after fashion. And he was a fellow who had all the fashions, and his own fashions were not enough. I would find clothes in my closet disappeared, and I would see him down at the class with my suit on. And I'd like, "Hey, dude, that's my suit." "Yeah, I got tired of wearing mine. I wanted to wear another color or whatever." "Okay. Yeah. We hunger and thirst for that perfect righteousness of Christ, that robe of righteousness. And we think about it once we have found it, and we visit it often. When the people went to the temple, the Israelites, and they looked upon their high priest who represented Jesus Christ, Exodus 28, it talks about his garments, his dress, and that they were made for beauty and for glory. So that when they looked upon their high priest, it reminded them of beauty and of glory. We should often, by faith, look upon our Redeemer, look upon his glory and his beauty, look upon his perfect righteousness, the beauty of a sinless life, raised by fallible sinners as parents, and yet he was without sin. Endured the contradiction of sinners, and yet he was without sin. What a glory to see him leading men as he does, his disciples, and yet without sin, despite all the provocations, a life worthy of imputation, a life worthy to imitate. See how much Christ exceeds us in righteousness. And so as they looked upon their high priest and he went through and did for them, and as a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ would do for us, and they saw the glory and the beauty. So we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. And one of the ways we do that is that we return to look at our high priest time and time again. And we see the glory and the beauty of our high priest. And it stirs up that hunger again. Hunger for that practical righteousness, to deal with every soul righteously. Micah 6:8, to deal justly, love mercy, walk humbly. To be an example to others. Timothy was told to be an example of the believers. To be a testimony of the righteous behavior, like Daniel and like Moses, the men of God. Do you hunger for notoriety, to be known as a somebody? There is no greater notoriety than to be known as someone who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. A man or a woman after God's own heart. Jeremiah said, "Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind could not be changed." And he was talking about there that Israel was about to be judged. And what he was saying is that even if Moses and Samuel stood before me and prayed, I still wouldn't change my mind about you guys. But that was a testimony to the life of Moses and Samuel, what God was saying. What do you want to be known for? How about your hunger for thirst and righteousness? Some hunger for acceptance, some for relationships. God does not require that you be wealthy and give great sums of money to the church before he will fill you with his salvation, before you will be accepted in the beloved. He says only, as Watson says, he says, just have an appetite. Just have an appetite. hunger and thirst for Him. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Buy wine, milk, and honey without money and without price. Not rivers of oil, but true penitence. Not self-righteousness, but an appetite for the Savior's glorious righteousness. So none are turned away for lacking unless they lack hunger for righteousness. Do you hunger for acceptance? Have you found it in Christ? There is where our acceptance is. Do you hunger for relationships? There is where we find it. We find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to have that relationship first before all your other relationships can be right. Because you've got to get settled in and comfortable with your relationship to Jesus Christ before you can know how to deal with, respond to, love anyone else in this world. To not hunger after Christ's righteousness is to slight Him. To hunger and thirst after Christ's righteousness is to be filled. It is to be satisfied. It is to be content. It is to be ready to serve the Lord in your calling, your knowledge, your independence, your opportunities, your experiences in all things. And so I would admonish you with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. For you will be filled. You will be filled with all the goodness of God. And it will show that you are in a state of great blessedness. Great blessedness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We ask that you would grant to us, by thy great grace, that you would fill us with thyself, the knowledge of thy righteousness. That is enough, O God, to make our hearts glad. And that all the days of our life that we would hunger and thirst for this righteousness. Integrity of heart and mind and life, O God, as a testimony to thy grace in our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, it is not in your program, but we are doing it anyways. To our young people, a copy of the scriptures, Constantine Bible, which is a wonderful reference work, filled in the back with all kinds of archaeological supplements, as well as articles, as well as topical studies, as well as studies of individuals, Bible characters, all kinds of things in your Ashland. Best of books, may it be a light to your path and a lamp to your feet. Congratulations. Lord bless you. Aaron, again, may this be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path all your days. Congratulations. There it is. Robbie, this is a light for you to walk in all the days of your life. Lord bless you. All right. Now, Brother Shane, if you will come up, and Shane is going to give a charge to the graduates before our next hymn, our closing hymn.
Well, they have me down on the program as a charge, but I believe we're probably on, the fifth or sixth charge to these graduates here. They've heard quite a lot from these fathers and our pastor. But I want to add one quick thing. The two things that I were going to focus on was seeking Christ's kingdom and Christ's righteousness. And I think we've got a good idea now of what it is to seek Christ's righteousness. So we will focus on others. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. In your lives, Aaron, Robbie, Brian, Ashlyn, the past that you have lived and seeing the little photos of all of you it was a blessing to see you growing up in a quick fashion and to seeing a glimpse of a little of that. But we see God's providence in your lives, and that providence has brought you many things. It's brought you joy. It's also brought you some challenges. It's brought you some difficulties. And like you have heard this night already, it is
by God's providence that you are here today where you are with everything that you have, all the good things and all the challenges as well. And I've got good news. It really doesn't change a lot. There's still more challenges to come. You know, there's more difficulties. But we want to look at what the Scripture tells us is really our first priority that I want to charge you with. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we should live life, and I charge you to live life, and this is the challenge of all of us who are God's children, to live life always seeking for the good of God's kingdom, to really desire that His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That comes out in many ways, and as many ways as there are children of God, because you have specific gifts, specific areas of focus, specific friends, specific realms of influence that each of you will have, that you will be able to glorify God with what you're doing and with your life. And I want to charge you to live life always seeking for the good of God's kingdom. And live life seeking after Christ's righteousness that we've already heard about very well. Very good. So, and we'll take no thought for tomorrow. This means not to be irresponsible, to not plan for the things that are coming that you know that you have to plan for tomorrow. It is telling you not to be anxious for the future, because God is in control of tomorrow just as He had been in control of yesterday. He's in control to this point, and He will be in control. That is our peace as God's children. Each of you will be identified by certain aspects of who you are outwardly, your character. This will result in many things in your life. It will result in some people being able to give you constructive criticism, some not so constructive, some good judgments, some not so good. That's a part of life. That's a part of dealing in a sinful world with a lot of people that have differing opinions. And that's something that God will give you peace in if you know that you are living for the good of God's kingdom. So inwardly, you will have your own decisions to make, your own problems to overcome. You will choose how to live your own lives based off of what the Scripture has told you and how you have learned. So it is up to you how to choose. And it's important that you choose wisely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. And in making your decisions, you'll have people that agree, people that disagree, people that are questioning your character, people that will question your motives. Your true identity as an individual who decides his or her own path comes down to the most inward of places, and that is each four of your hearts. This is what the Lord sees. This is what the Lord knows. The real you. No other human being knows the real you. But God knows the real you. And that is where the truth lies in who you really are. This is where you are as adults. You find your true identity before God. It is God who judges the heart. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, because we always think we're right, right? We're not wrong. But the Lord ponders the heart. And we know the Lord knows what's right. So He knows our real being, who we really are. Seek to please your righteous judge. Seek to please Him. We're called to counterculture. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is absolutely impossible without Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So it goes back to the two things. Seek for the good of God's kingdom and seek after Christ's righteousness.
Wise Solomon lived a long life. He learned a lot of things. And in the conclusion, he wrote this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let me give you a charge from various scriptures here. I charge you to flee youthful lust, flee the world's ways of self-righteous gain. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, charity, and peace. Keep that which is committed to your trust. Fight the good fight of faith. Consent to the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Seek to learn that in whatever state you may find yourselves, therewith to be content. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Be not haughty nor wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Depart from evil, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Do not set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy and to do good. Be rich in good works. Be generous, ready to share, thus storing up treasures for yourselves as a good foundation for the future, so that you may take hold of that which is truly life and to live this life as if its chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. For the conclusion of the whole matter of this life and the whole duty of man is to fear God, to keep His commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That you trust in the Lord with all your heart, for it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man and lean not on your own understandings, but acknowledge Him in all your ways so that He will direct your path. And purpose in your hearts to keep His commandments unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our blessed and only sovereign Lord, Jesus Christ, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who be honor and glory forever. May God bless you all. And our prayer for you is the Lord's prayer for His disciples, that being in this world, He not take you from this world, but He would keep you from evil.
Let's pray. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, today we acknowledge Your mercy and grace that You have granted to Robbie Acker, Aaron Davis, Ashley Powell, and Brian Poitras. By Your gracious providence, they have completed their studies in these 12 years of schooling and have graduated from high school. Tomorrow is a new day for them. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will direct each one of them in the future course of their life, whether it be in the high calling of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, furthering their education by more studies in the university, or being a homebody caring for their children along with the related needful tasks, employment of some sort, or military service. I pray that they will apply themselves and be successful doing all things for Your glory, remembering that whatever You have called them to do, they're to do it with all their might. We pray that these years of schooling have taught them to be diligent in whatever they undertake to do. They will bring forth fruit by conscientious effort and Your grace. We know that You have created knowledge. Help them to realize while they're still young that really their life is but a few days and then it's over. I pray that they will realize for the Christian that this life is just the preparation for glory. Further, Father, we pray that You will give each one wisdom. May they know before they start on this journey on earth, that whatever is done for Christ is the only thing that will have permanence. We pray that in the coming days they will realize their need to seek Your face daily for guidance in all things and respond to Your leadership. We pray, Father, that Thy Holy Spirit will lead them in paths of righteousness. Keep them from sin. Keep them from the evil one. And may Your blessings keep each one from strength to strength. We ask all these blessings and pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.